If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we'll begin at chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters encompassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you speak through your word. And we pray, Lord, that even now that you would speak to us, that by the Holy Spirit you would come and quicken this word to our hearts, that you would make it alive, that you would make it real to us. Lord, that it would be a word that changes us, Lord, that we wouldn't go out from this place the same, Lord. We need a word from you, Lord. We need an encounter with you, our God, this morning. We need to meet with you in a very real way as we come and hear your voice. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to each one of us, Lord. We pray that each one of us would have ears to hear, a heart to receive, Lord, a will to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The account of Jonah is very familiar to us. And in this chapter, we see Jonah brought to that low place, a place where he is sinking in the waters. He's surrounded by the waters, and he's overcome. And we also see recorded his great cry to the Lord for deliverance, a cry that goes up to heaven, and we see the great mercy of the Lord in delivering him from all that would oppress him. But we see in this passage that the afflictions of Jonah come from the Lord. We see that the afflictions that come upon Jonah come from the Lord. It says that I cried in verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. And here Jonah acknowledges that it was the Lord who had done it. He doesn't blame the sailors who had thrown him into the waters. And he doesn't argue. He just says, yes, he acknowledges that it was the Lord who had done this. And what we see in this chapter is that the one who had sown in sin, the one who had rebelled against the Lord and run away from the Lord, now finds himself in a position where he is separate from the Lord. He had reaped the very thing that he had sown. He had reaped the very thing he had sown. He had, He'd sown separation from the Lord, and now he was reaping it. And he was seeing, and he found himself in the midst of great affliction. And I wonder this morning if we find ourselves in a similar place. I wonder if we feel ourselves cast into the deep. I wonder if we feel as if the floods have encompassed us, that we are sinking beneath the storms. I wonder if we feel as if we're overwhelmed by the waters this morning. And as Jonah records what had happened to him, he says that the weeds were wrapped about my head. And I wonder if we find ourselves in the midst of these, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulty. I wonder if it's as if we're full of confusion in our minds. It's as if weeds have encompassed our head so that we have no clarity of thought. There's that confusion. We don't know which way to go. We don't know whether to go to the left or to the right. We're in confusion. And it's almost as if we've got these weeds wrapped around our head so that we cannot think clearly. And I wonder if this morning we are in that position. And so that we can say that thy billows and thy waves pass over me. I wonder if that's how we feel this morning. And notice how he says, thy billows and thy waves pass over me. You see, when we find ourselves in the midst of trouble, and we find ourselves in the midst of affliction, and we might find ourselves in the midst of trials, we have to realize that it's the Lord's doing. It was the Lord's doing in Jonah's life, and it's the same with us. We cannot think of ourselves as any different. When we're going through the storm, when we're going through the waves, when we're going through those times of trouble, we have to realize that it's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord who has done it. It's He who's cast us into the storm, and it's He who controls the storm. And I wonder this morning, if you're passing through those floods, if you're passing through those storms, if you're passing through those trials, do you see that it's the Lord's doing? It's the Lord's work. He owns those trials, and He has brought them about. And so easily we can look at those trials, and we can be confused and wonder why they should have happened. But when we read the life of Jonah, we see that the Lord brought them about. And he brought them about to bring Jonah to that low place where he would cry out to the Lord. Because if we think of Jonah as he rebelled against the Lord, as when we think of how he disobeyed the Lord and ran to Tarshish, if he'd have been left in that position, what a dreadful place he would have sunk into. He would have been going further and further away from the Lord. But you see, when the Lord caused him to go into the sea, and when he caused the great fish to swallow him up, there was no further place of rebellion that he could go. He was trapped. He couldn't run any further, because the Lord now had him trapped in that place. And when trials come, they can set a boundary round us so that we cannot run any further in rebellion against the Lord. He will bring circumstances in our way that stops us from rebelling any further until we get right with the Lord. And this is what happened with Jonah. He was running from the Lord. He was rejecting the word of the Lord. And then the Lord steps in, and he couldn't run any further, because now he was at the bottom of the sea, and now he was in the belly of a great fish. And it is this that causes him to cry out. And it's the same with us. The trials will be the very thing that causes us to cry out to the Lord. And that is why a trial is brought to us. This is why we face trials. This is why we face trouble in our soul. Why we suffer these difficulties is to cause us to cry out. And that's why at the beginning of the chapter, it says, and then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. It was the affliction that caused him to cry unto the Lord. And it's the affliction that you experience and the affliction and the trials that we experience that will cause us to cry out to the Lord. And that is why the Lord brings them. It's to bring us to the place where we cry out to the Lord. And maybe this morning, it feels as if you have that glimpse of the grave, a glimpse of even hell itself. For Jonah, he says, he cried out from the belly of hell, the belly of the grave. And we know that Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. And when sin comes into our lives, it brings an element of death to our heart. We know that we're saved for eternity. We know that is assured to us. We know that we've entered into that covenant with the Lord. But when sin comes in, it brings that taste of death. It brings a taste of death to our souls. And that's what Jonah experienced. It was as if he was tasting death as he went into the belly of the great fish. And I wonder this morning, going through the trial, going through that trouble, going through that difficulty, if there is that taste of death, a taste of death, and it has come because of sin, sin coming in, and therefore there is that taste of death. And in the midst of that situation, Jonah says, then I said, and this is verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The very man who had run from the sight of God is now cast out from the sight of God. He'd reaped what he'd sown. And the Lord will respond to us in measure to the very sin that we commit, in order to bring us low, and in order to deal with that sin, in order to bring us to the point where we look again to him. And we know that in Scripture, under Solomon prayed, and it was a prayer that was responded to. He said, "If your people, having sinned, look to the holy temple, and cry out in repentance, will you not have mercy?" And the Lord said, "Yes, I will have mercy if the people repent and look unto the holy temple." But in our day, we have another temple, and that's the Lord Jesus. We remember that the Lord Jesus spoke of his own body as the temple. He said, "You'll destroy it, but in 3 days I will raise it up." And so now, when we are cast low, when we are cast out of the sight of the Lord, when we're afflicted, when we find ourselves facing trouble, when we're facing difficulty, the call comes to us, just as it came to Jonah. Look again towards the holy temple. Look again to the Lord Jesus. Because you see, when we find ourselves in that place of trouble, because of sin, there is only one place to look, and that is the Lord Jesus. There is no other place to look. There's no other place which will provide us with deliverance. If we look down to verse 8, it says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." It's possible to look to other places for deliverance. But you see, anything else, though it pretends to offer a place of deliverance, it's just lying. It's deceitful. It will deceive you. It will deceive you. It will trick you into believing that there is an answer somewhere else. And that's why it talks about lying vanities, lying idols, anything else that might provide the solution to the problem, that might somehow give you deliverance from the floods and the trouble and the storms and the billows and the waves. Something else might give you deliverance. But all the time, it's deceitful. It's lying and tricking you. And it says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And what it's really saying is this. It's saying there is mercy and there's goodness and blessedness and hope on offer. But the moment you go after lying vanities, you're forsaking that mercy, which is yours. Because you're a child of God, because you are here, belong to him, in observing lying vanities, you're forsaking the mercy of God. You're forsaking the mercy that belongs to you as a child of God. So the moment you run after something else, seeing in that the answer, seeing that as the deliverance, you're actually forsaking the mercy that the Lord wants to give to you. And so the call is to turn your gaze upon the Lord Jesus, to look again and see the cross, to look again and to see the blood of Jesus that washes away all sin. Because it's only in the Lord Jesus is the hope. There's only in the Lord Jesus is the deliverance. And it's when we turn from going our way and turn back to the Lord Jesus that we find that we are delivered and we are rescued. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed to me round about. And I wonder today as you hear this message, I wonder if there's that sense that all the affliction has even penetrated your soul. You may have known physical trials and physical affliction. You may have known that sickness of the body. You may have known physical torment. But now it's even entered into your soul. And so there is just no peace in your heart. There's only trouble that has reached right into your soul, into your heart. There's only that overwhelming sense of guilt, an overwhelming sense of fear and confusion. And so that it's not just having afflicted you physically, but it's afflicted your soul. It says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. And it's as if you're shut in. It's as if you're in this place, in a prison. And it feels as if there is no place of deliverance, because the bars have shut you in, and there is no place of light. In speaking of going right down to the bottom of the sea, that it's a place where there is absolutely no light. And when we run from the Lord, and when we find sin entering into our hearts, and when we're seeking to do our own thing rather than the Lord, going the Lord's way, the result is we find that there is no light. We find that we're, instead of being shrouded in the light, because we're walking in that close fellowship with the Lord, we now find ourselves shrouded in darkness, because we're right at the bottom of the sea. And you know, the reality is, it's only the trial and the only the storm that can wake us up to see the reality of our situation. So often we live in this place of almost deceptive rest, thinking everything is all right, everything is fine, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm not doing anything that is wrong. And it's only when the storm comes in that we suddenly have that check. It's only when the storm comes in that we suddenly realize there's a problem, and that we're not in the place we should be. We're not in the right place. And Jonah, it took being thrust into the sea and sent down to the bottom of the sea for Jonah to realize just the enormity of his sin and of the enormity of what he was doing. And sometimes that's what it takes for the Lord to do in our hearts. And it's all the mercy of God, because in sending us into the midst of the storm, he not only protects us because he shuts us in from rebelling anymore, but it also brings us to a place where we cry out to the Lord for mercy. And then in verse 6 it says, "Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God." If we turn to Psalm 16, it says this. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup, and thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Such was the great mercy of God to Jonah, that he delivered him from corruption. He delivered him, as it were, from the grave, the grave of the belly of the great fish. And that's what he does with us. Though we go through that storm, though it's as if we're going through a very place of death, it's as if we're going through corruption, which it speaks of death, yet that we can pass through that place of a sense of death, yet he brings us through. It says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." And we know that this speaks in the future of the Lord. But this was also David's experience, and it can be our experience the moment we turn back to the Lord, the moment we set our gaze upon the Lord Jesus, the moment we fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. It says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And the moment we turn our gaze back upon the Lord Jesus, and the moment we fix our eyes upon him, and the moment we just look into his loveliness, and we see that in the Lord Jesus is the dealing with our sin and the washing away of our sin, we're brought into the very presence of Jesus himself, and we're brought into the fullness of that joy that is found in him. And suddenly we have that rest for our souls. Whereas once we had confusion in our hearts and in our minds, whereas once we were overwhelmed by sorrow and fear and trouble and didn't know which way to turn, whereas before our souls were overwhelmed because of the affliction, then we're brought into a place where there is pleasures forevermore, because it's the very blessing of the Lord being bestowed upon his child, who has come from a place of saying, I will do what I think is right. I will do my own thing. I will walk in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord. the Lord brings them to that place where he turns their heart back to the Lord and brings them into that place of pleasure, and where he meets them with joy and peace. And that's what he wants to do with each one of us. And that's his great love, and that's his great mercy, that he brings these troubles in our way, that we might be restored to the place where we're knowing his peace and his joy. And he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." And when we think of Jonah, he says, "I've been forsaken by the Lord." So it's almost as if he's feeling, well, why is the Lord now going to hear my cry? If I've been forsaken by the Lord because of what I've done, am I really going to hear him responding to me? And it's as if his soul faints, because he thinks, well, what hope is that? There's that sense of hopelessness. And in the midst of the trial, we can have that sense of hopelessness. We can be so overwhelmed that there's no sense of hope. But he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." He remembered the mercy of the Lord. He remembered the very nature of the Lord. He remembered that the Lord is gracious and loving and caring and is good towards his children. And it's that which brought him to that place of prayer. "And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple." It was a prayer that was received by the Lord. And it's a prayer that is always received. The prayer that cries out to the Lord in the midst of the trial. That prayer of humility, that prayer of repentance, is a prayer that is always received by the Lord. "But I will sacrifice," verse 9, "but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Suddenly, as he's brought to that place of deliverance, there's thanksgiving unto the Lord. And suddenly he is overwhelmed with thanks and gratefulness to the Lord for what he has done. And he says, "Salvation is of the Lord." And I believe in the midst of all this, Jonah suddenly has a new sight of the Lord. And it often takes us going through the trial for us to have a new vision of the Lord Jesus. We can be going through our lives just in a very ordinary way, and then suddenly the trial comes in, and it's that which brings us to a place where we see the Lord in a totally fresh way, and a totally new way. And Jonas, I believe, there suddenly saw the Lord in a totally different way. He saw the Lord as the one who saves. He saw him as the deliverer. He saw a very different concept of the Lord. And I believe that when we're brought back to the Lord, we see him in a very different way, a way that we may have never seen him before. We may suddenly see him in all his love and graciousness in a way that we've never seen him before. We may see him in his mercy. We may see him in his power and in his sovereignty. All aspects of his character, but some that we will see something new when we've been brought through the trials. And what is more with this in being brought through the trial, and when he suddenly sees salvation is of the Lord, it's a sudden great revelation, and he sees how the Lord has saved him, who didn't deserve to be saved. It's then that it's out of this place that he goes and preaches to the people of Nineveh. And we know how, even then, when he preaches and how the people repent, how he still takes issue But because suddenly he sees the salvation of the Lord. That's what sends him out. Suddenly he's seen the salvation of the Lord. That salvation comes from the Lord. And he goes out preaching, preaching because to the people. And it's only until we get a fresh revelation of Jesus and a fresh vision of Jesus that we will be able to be useful in the Lord's service. And the Lord wants to use us in new ways. He wants us to be to use us in powerful ways. He wants us to reach out to the lost. He wants us to be to speak to the believer and be a comfort. But in order for that to happen, we have to have a fresh vision of Jesus. And if we have a fresh vision of the power of the Lord, it will be that which will mean that we can speak to people and speak of the fact that the Lord is sovereign and is powerful and is able to do mighty things. If we have this fresh vision of Christ as Saviour, then it will give us that compulsion and that belief that we can go out to the lost, believing that Christ will save. Not only just because we do it because we know that we ought to preach the gospel, but going out with that faith and belief that Christ is going to save. And so when we see Christ in his grace and his mercy, then instead of being judgmental of others, we will see the grace and the mercy of the Lord that has, having extended to us, also extends to other people. So that is why these trials come. They come to bring us low, to bring us down, so that we're bent low and brought to the foot of the cross, where there is mercy and grace bestowed. And having been brought to that place, we see a fresh vision of Jesus, because that's what it's all about. It's about having that fresh sight of the Saviour that the Lord wants to give each one of us. But so often, it requires us to go through the trial, and it requires us to go through the storm so that we're brought back to the Lord and see him afresh. Amen.